today about the book The Prince of Mist by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, and we've been hearing how it's been recommended and what we've made of it. Us grown-ups, proper grown-ups, have made of it. But I'm joined in the studio now by two people who as it were, more appropriate for their purpose, Eloise Unnerman and Abby Millen. Thank you both ever so much for coming in on the radio today. How do you feel about being on Radio Sheffield? Are you okay about it?
It's a new experience.
Is it a new? Have you never done it before?
No.
You just open your mouth and speak, and people, if they don't like it, they switch off. So it's the easiest job in the world. But thanks very much for sharing this one. You've read the book. Will you tell me what you made of it, Eloise?
I quite liked it. It was slow to start at first, I thought, but it was a good story. It did seem to be for a younger audience, but I don't think that stopped me from enjoying it.
Abby, what did you make of it?
I didn't really enjoy it, but I can understand why it'd be more suitable for a younger reader. It definitely has the elements of, like, supernatural and horror.
Mm. But you didn't enjoy it particularly?
No, not really.
Would you like to say, this is wonderful radio, because, of course, everyone thinks the purpose of this is to get people to buy books and read books and go to libraries, and here we are spoiling all that, so that's great. Why didn't it work for you?
I think the character development, like, they're a bit flat. But, yeah, it seems quite clumsy, but I think that's part of the fact that it's translated.
Oh, do you?
And you can definitely tell that it's one of his first books. It seems quite clumsy.
Eloise, can you respond to that?
I do agree with the fact that some parts of it were clumsy. For example, the transition of Max's older sister. Mm. I think her name's Alicia.
Yeah.
She starts the book as someone Max sees as very vain, very closed off to everyone else in the family, and then all of a sudden one night when they're watching something on the film projector, she opens up and becomes this person who suddenly wants to communicate with Max. And
And was that something you liked and kind of believe?
Well, I liked who her, what her character was afterwards. Mm. She seemed very nice, but the transition was a bit jarring. It just seemed very sudden.
Yes, I thought, for me, that was one of the moments in the book. That kind of development, and I think it's what you were actually saying there before, is why I like the book, the moments of change, as the boy changes, and we change as well, I think. I did like that. Is there a sense, Abby, that the book is too young for you?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's aimed towards younger readers in the style of writing, but some of the content seems a bit older, so it is suitable for, like, you know, all levels of reading, but I think it was a bit too young, and for me, personally.
What do you make of that suggestion? Because if it's too young for her, it's certainly too young, with no offence, for you, Dan Marshall. Or yeah. Did you find your inner child while reading?
Maybe that's it. Maybe I was trying to find something. I think it's definitely written at a younger level, which makes it accessible, but I think as you were just saying, some of the themes are older and some of the content, I mean, there's nothing adult, if you know what I mean, in here, but, you know, there's a romance running through it and there's death and there's...
You mean there's no sex in it?
Yeah, there's no sex in it, but there are definitely...
The very thing you want to read about when you're your age, isn't it? When no one's looking?
I certainly was. Yeah, I probably did.
I used to write young adult fiction myself at one stage and published several books. I came to the conclusion in the end that the genre itself was fake, that children's stories are wonderful and we read them forever when we're grown up on children, that young adult fiction was actually books like a kind of mixture in the middle, which was nothing like it was if you were a young adult. Oh, good. Abby, go on, say something. Apart from agreeing with me, I'm really pleased about that.
No, I agree with your point there, but... The book is definitely a children's book that is accessible for all ages, but it isn't all bad. It's definitely worth reading to find out yourself.
Thank you. We were talking just off air, I think, when just a little bit before, about what you read yourself as a teenager, Dan Marshall. It turns out you're one of those boys who stopped reading in
classic
teenage.
Classic boy, yeah. So I read a little as a child, you know, had the young books, and then did the famous Five, Secret Seven stuff. And then just stopped. You know, I got to secondary school, and I suppose I was distracted by football and by girls and all those things.
What got you back into it? Because he's a librarian. He's not advertising his trade very
well. Yeah. Well, I didn't discover the library until I was 18 or 19.
Really?
Yeah, and then that changed my life in all sorts of ways. But I think what got me back into reading was I just came across a couple of brilliant novels, and they were classics, actually. It's things like The Moonstone and The Woman in White. And I just thought, this is brilliant. And I was sucked in to a different world, and they just went on from there. And then I read Orwell and just made my way through.
And I've gone on reading ever since. Abby, does it happen to girls? Did they stop reading in teenage years? How old are you now?
I'm 16.
Did you stop reading like he did?
No, I've always been reading.
And Eloise, what about you?
I've always been reading. My primary school couldn't keep up with me.
In what way?
We had a reading system. You had to read a certain amount of books at one level that they considered to be appropriate for your age, and then move up to the next, and the next, and the next.
And were you jumping the levels, or...? Yeah,
but by the time I was 8, I was reading Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, so the teachers had to take a group of us off the reading scheme because it was just pointless.
His Dark Materials, and is that a book that you recommend while we're playing games of recommending books we should read?
It's not the book that I am going to recommend, but it's definitely...
Don't spoil that one then, yeah. Have you read His Dark Materials and the Philip Pullman stuff, have you?
I think so. Yeah. It's been a while, but
the next
I
one's
think
out this autumn.
Next one, yes, he's starting all over again, isn't he?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I would recommend them.
Good, I would too. Thank you so much. It's been absolutely lovely talking about books, and thanks very much for all the work you've done on that one. Dan, we'll continue to talk about books, writing and reading in the next hour of the programme. You're on BBC Radio Sheffield. Where else would you be on a wet afternoon? BBC Radio Sheffield at 29 minutes past one. We're celebrating the good summer weather by talking about books and the sort of things you might curl up with and read on an afternoon like this. A message from... I'm not even sure. Yes, I've read the Enid Blanton message. I'm going to be asking you, wherever you are listening to this programme, about the book that you remember from your childhood or you'd recommend to other people to help them through their childhood and their growing years. And in particular, of course, we've been talking about the book of our month, Books and Gender. And I suppose one of the questions we will ask you in the course of things is the difference between the books that are written by women and read by women and so forth. Anyway, it's coming up for 1:30, so it's time for... BBC Radio Sheffield on a wet day in which we're talking about books. It's our monthly book club today. We've been reviewing The Prince of Mist by Carith Ruith Zafon, and we've also, on that excuse, are talking about other books and other writing that's done by and for young people. Author Nick Perring has joined me in the studio. He's from Hive, South Yorkshire, which is described as a hub for young writers. He's brought some of his writers in. We've already been talking to them. Nick, what's a hub do for young writers, and why are you bothered about them?
Only gosh, we do so much. I mean, I think the important thing is, as we were talking about off air before, having the opportunity for young people to come and be able to express themselves through writing, be it a hobby, if you want to be have a career in it, but just giving them the opportunity. So what Hive South Yorkshire does is we are a network, an organisation for 14 to 25 year olds. We run writers groups in Rotherham, Sheffield here, in Doncaster and in Barnsley. We have writers' festivals, we have residentials, we have so many opportunities. We've got loads and loads and loads of stuff going up this autumn, should I say. We've got slam bars if anybody's into grime or emceeing or rap.
Oh,
or
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Me.
Spread the word, get people signed up.
Listen, you're a fine one for saying all this, because you are a writer now, but you didn't write when you were a young person yourself.
I didn't, no. No, I didn't. I like drawing pictures. That was my kind of thing, but I never thought of picking up a pen seriously, probably until my teens, probably mid-teens.
What got you doing it? Oh, an English teacher, I bet.
It was an English teacher.
Was it?
It was English and history, and we were doing First World War in history, and we were doing the war poets in English, and the two kind of merged, and I understood that you could translate something that's historically happened, that you can see through pictures and all that stuff, in a really kind of accessible, affecting, emotional way, and that kind of opened doors to me.
So reading got you writing?
Yeah.
And does writing keep you reading, as it were? Do they overlap those
Absolutely,
two things?
Absolutely, yeah, one feeds into the other, because I think if you want to be a writer of anything, you need to absorb stories, and you need to see how good people do it well, and I think the more good stuff anybody's exposed to, no matter what they're doing, it doesn't have to be writing, it can be football, it could be radio, it could be anything at all, the better.
We keep writing, you've just had a birthday, haven't you? I've been reading on your blog today. No, nothing secret, is it? How was your 36th birthday? I know you're still down with the kids.
No, not at all. It was very nice, thank you. It was a quiet day writing.
Good. And do you recommend blog writing as a way of stopping yourself doing real writing?
It's fantastic for...
it's an excuse instead of writing, isn't it?
It is. I actually know a couple of writers who say that they will write a blog post as a warm-up. So it gets them writing something efficient and good, but not fiction, so that when they come to it, they've limbered up their writing muscles.
There are four of us in here who write. One of them is Eloise. I guess she's the most successful of us all. Would that be true?
Yeah, I think so.
What's she done that's so wonderful?
Eloise very, very recently won the very, very prestigious Cuckoo Northern Writers Award, which is, as I say, it's really, really prestigious.
Look at her blushing, and she's going right.
And thoroughly deserved as well.
Is it deserved, Eloise?
I hope so.
I hope so too. What did you win it with?
It was a collection of 10 poems. It wasn't about a particular theme, but they were supposed to be... It was kind of a put-your-best-foot-forward thing. And I guess I put my best foot forward.
Did you? And what sort of stuff do you write? I mean, is it sort of serious stuff about human relationships and the end of the world and teenage stuff like that? Or is it about love? Or is it about... Listen to me being stereotyped and horrible.
I write what works. Some of my poems are about... I have one about a party my friend had for a 17th, and I also have one about millennials comparing them to a computer virus. and I have yet another one about a woman going round taking care of people after a bombing.
Are you jealous of this success that she's got?
No, writing's more of a hobby for me.
Yeah. Writing what sort of stuff?
I like to write poetry and prose, mm-hmm. But I've always, even since I was maybe 4 or 5, you know, really, really just getting in, I've always preferred, like, descriptive writing, small stories, things like that.
More of that and more of our reading and writing. I'm what we're going to be reading next month in a few moments. You're on BBC Radio Sheffield. And I'm in the studios of BBC Radio Sheffield with my guests in here. Eloise Urman and Abby Millen and Nick Perring is here as well, and we're talking about books. We've been chatting about and reading and writing and talk about The Prince of Mist, but it's time now to introduce the next book of the month. It's called The Game of Love and Death, and it's by Martha Brockenbrough.
Antony and Cleopatra, Helen of Troy and Paris, Romeo and Juliet, and now Henry and Flora. For centuries, love and death have chosen their players. They've set the rules, rolled the dice, and kept close, ready to influence, angling for supremacy. And death has always won. Always. Could there ever be one time, one place, one pair whose love would truly tip the balance? Meet Flora Sudada, an African-American girl who dreams of becoming the next Amelia Earhart by day and sings in the smoky jazz clubs of Seattle by night. Meet Henry Bishop, born a few blocks and a million worlds away, a white boy with his future assured. A wealthy adoptive family in the midst of the Great Depression, a college scholarship, and all the opportunities in the world seemingly available to him. The players have been chosen, the dice have been rolled, but when human beings make moves of their own, what happens next is anyone's guess. Achingly romantic and brilliantly imagined, The Game of Love and Death is a love story you will never forget.
That's the achingly romantic voice of Nick Wilson. Isn't he lovely? The book, The Game of Love and Death, is recommended by Eloise Unaman, who's in the studio with us now. You're the only one of us who's read it.
Yeah.
Would you say why you think we should?
It's incredibly charming. The setting is charming, the characters are charming, and I feel like the story has two layers. There's the romance between Henry and Flora, and then there's also the relationship between love and death, which has gone on for centuries and centuries, and you can feel that in the writing.
Is it a book that will more suit, I don't know how to put it really, Nick and me, or you and Abby? Is it a boy's book or a girl's book, a male book, a female book, a long book, a short book, I don't know. Is it funny?
I think it has comedy moments, I guess, but I don't see it as having a particular gender. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you like the story, no matter what gender you are, you should read it.
Good. How did you come across it yourself?
I was in Waterstones, as I often am, and it sounded nice, it looked nice, I bought it.
Good, smashing. And thank you very much indeed for coming in. The Game of Love and Death by Martha Brockenborough is the book we're all going to be reading next for next month. Before you go, would you just share with us, with the listeners and with me, your book that you might be reading at the moment? Or the book indeed you'd recommend other people should read, I suppose, Nick?
Gosh, there's so many good books. I always think you should read kind of what excites you.
Yeah, but you don't know till you read it, do you?
I'm reading it at the moment. It's an older book. It's Perfume, the Story of a Murderer by Patrick Süskind.
Yeah.
I think he's a German guy, which is fantastic. It's really good fun. It's very, very creepy. If I was to recommend one book, I think it would either be... I'm going to go with one book. I'm going to commit. Slaughterhouse-Five by
really?
Kurt Vonnegut.
Yep. Right, thank you. Well, Abby, what about you?
I'd say We Were Liars by Elot Cott.
Don't know it.
It's a young adult book, and it's about a very rich family on an island, but it's quite interesting. It's a good plot twist.
And then you said another one as well?
For younger readers, I'd probably go for Stargale by Jerry Spinelli.
Thank you. Eloise, will you finish? You've got your next book in front of you.
Yeah, the book that I'm just starting today is The Thousandth Floor by Catherine McGee.
And you're just starting it today, you say?
Yeah.
Have you actually begun it?
No, not
read
yet.
The first sentence. Oh, this is radio at its best. Because you wasted your money if that don't work for you. First sentence. We're all writers here. You've got to get this one to get them reading.
Prologue. November 2118. The sounds of laughter and music were dying down on the thousandth floor, the party breaking up by bits and pieces, as even the rowdiest guests finally stumbled
Say
into
no
the
more.
Elevators.
I'm going to read it. Thank you very much indeed for coming in, Eloise, Abby and Nick. It's BBC Radio Sheffield, where we're celebrating books today.